1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The man convicted of a politically motivated attack is headed to prison. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
Today, David DePape, who viciously attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, and left him with permanent skull and other injuries, received a lengthy sentence of 30 years.
The Houston area has to clean up from yet another violent storm. This one left heavy damage and four people dead. Harris County Judge Linda Hidalgo.
We are going to have to talk about this disaster in weeks, not days. For some folks, the luckier ones, it might be days, not hours.
Israel says it's recovered the remains of three Hamas hostages in Gaza. White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby.
I don't have any information that we knew ahead of time or that we have had since the bodies have been recovered. Any additional information or context from the Israelis on this?
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, a feature within the morning show every Monday at 9. Join me, Melissa Kay, and my guests to learn about food-related topics that will interest and entertain.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Election officials will provide more details to voters than normal to avoid confusion about November ballots in Northeast Wisconsin that will have both a special and a regular election for U.S. House. The special election will fill the vacancy until January 3rd. The regular election determines who takes office after January 3rd. Vice President Kamala Harris in Milwaukee yesterday touting the Biden administration's economic record to black voters.
We don't lack for talent. We don't lack for skills. We don't lack for good ideas and innovative thought. But there are those who, with all of that, lack for access.
Harris points to better access to housing, job creation, small business investment, and forgiving student loans and medical debt. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRA News, I'm Melissa Kay. The 6th annual Central Wisconsin Hmong Week celebration is having their food night tonight across Portage, Wood, and Marathon counties. You can join them for a night of cooking at the Stevens Point High School from 5 to 7:30, First Congregational Church in Wisconsin Rapids from 5 to 7, or at the Hmong American Center in Marathon County from 5 to 7. On Saturday, May 18th, they have their Party in the Park at Pifner Pioneer Park in Stevens Point. You can come out from 1 to 8 p.m. for music, artists, resource tables, vaccinations, dancing, entertainment, and even an open mic where you can display your talents. This event is free and open to the public. There'll be food and beverage vendors, so be sure to bring cash. Would you like to perform the national anthem at Wisconsin Rapids Independence Day celebration? You'll need to submit an audition tape to the mayor's office before June 6th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers, tonight in Houston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a three-game series against the Astros. Freddie Peralta gets the start tonight. Is there a concern Minute Maid Park has been a tough place to get a win for Milwaukee?
Not really, but, you know, we have to understand that they are a very good team. But I know that we have to give them some respect because they play the game in a good way, and they play hard all the time. Especially against us.
College football. The Wisconsin Badgers announcing this week their game against Alabama at Lambeau Field. I asked Luke Fickell how his defensive front seven looks year two into his program.
I really believe we're in a good place. I believe we've got some of that. I think we've got some at all levels to be able to create pressure. And I think we're in a better spot. I think it's challenging. I think it's made it really difficult on the offensive line just because of the ability to roll some of those guys in there, which I think is a really good thing in the long run for all of us.
That's Badgers head football coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Abundant sunshine today and summer-like temperatures for the entire weekend. In fact, today we'll climb to the upper 70s and flirt with 80 degrees, and then we soar into the mid-80s for tomorrow. The chances of showers and thunderstorms fire up in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the Raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreidlow.
Monday morning, we'll visit with State Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein about the push to take back the majority thanks to new, fairer maps.
Up North News with Pat Kreidlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, May 17th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Ben Aberline, Community Engagement Director with United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Looking forward to catching up with Ben and talking a little United Way. Looking forward to talking with our good friend, Senator Patrick Teston, right now, joining us on the phone lines. Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, James. Yourself?
Doing well. Doing good. Great to hear from you and great to be able to catch up with you. You've been very busy. Wanted to start, if you don't mind, talking about your the Senate's floor session this past week where they voted to override the governor's veto of several bills, including this your Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Modernization Act. Before we get into some of the other bills, do you mind if we touch on that bill, why it was so important to you, why you pushed for this so hard, and where we are with it now?
Yeah, I mean, so this past Tuesday, the Senate came in and we did veto overrides on 9 different pieces of legislation that the governor had vetoed for one reason or another. And I think it's critically important because some of these bills directly impact our areas of the state and impact every corner of the state for that matter. And one of those bills was my legislation as it relates to allowing our advanced practice registered nurses to operate at the highest level of their license. So one of the highlights, and there weren't very many highlights throughout the course of the pandemic, was that many of the restrictions that are currently placed on our APRNs were removed. And as a result of that, the good news is that quality of care didn't diminish. In fact, it actually improved, actually empowering our providers to take care of patients. And the reason why this is so critical is that 1 million Wisconsinites live in underserved areas where there aren't enough healthcare practitioners within their respective communities. And this is legislation that has been implemented in 27 other states, including Minnesota and Iowa. So at a time when other legislation has been enacted, for instance, the governor recently signed new legislation to create a new healthcare provider in the form of dental therapists. And alongside that, the continuation of supporting things like interstate medical licensure compacts that make it easier for providers to cross state lines. So it was unfortunate that the governor vetoed this legislation, but I think it's imperative that this legislation get enacted, which is why I pushed as hard as I did to ensure that the APRN Modernization Act was on the veto override calendar. Because as we've seen in other states, any other state that has allowed these advanced practice nurses to operate at the highest level of the license have never gone back to a more restrictive model. In fact, there is even evidence to show that, you know, when these APRNs encounter a patient or a situation that goes above and beyond their practice or their scope of practice, that they refer it to a physician, which is exactly what this legislation aims to do. And so my hope is that with our actions taken on Tuesday, that at some point. I hope the assembly comes back to follow suit. And I really hope that we can find some folks from across the aisle to join with us in the assembly to enact this much critical needed legislation.
You touched on a little bit of the history of this, and I know that there are certain bills where you see something in society or see something in your constituents or your community, and you kind of head it. But this was feels like one that came to you from your constituents. They came to you with this concern. Is that how this got started?
Yeah, I mean, there's been plenty of folks within my Senate district that have supported this, and I can't honestly take credit for this legislation. I mean, this bill has been around for the better part of a decade now, and it's taken many different forms and different approaches. Last session was the first session that I was the author of it, and, you know, it was the first time that it advanced out of both houses. Unfortunately, it got vetoed last session. This go-around, we sort of recalibrated and worked to and tried to negotiate with Governor Evers on this, and I thought we came pretty close. There were a few provisions that, quite frankly, from my perspective and the perspective of many of the stakeholders in support of this bill, weren't necessarily germane to this bill. And because really this legislation is basically about empowering our healthcare professionals and our workforce. And as I told the governor prior to his veto, and this was a couple of months ago when I met with him in his office, I said, Governor, some of the other issues that you would like to see in this bill that aren't included, I'd be more than happy and willing to work with you next session on this if I have the privilege to come back. But from my standpoint, this is so needed right now that we really need to focus on the crux of this bill, which is workforce development and empowering our providers to do the jobs they're trained to do.
To that point, it does look like in the amendments to ease stakeholders, the governor, the original bill was amended to require that APRNs refer to physicians and other healthcare providers when a case is outside of their expertise. That seems like something that was a key part of the addition. And while veto might get a lot of people's eyes when they see the headlines or something, to me, I'm seeing both people working together to compromise. And oftentimes that means the best for our communities.
Well, now it's certainly the intent that we put forward in trying to negotiate and act in good faith. In fact, one of the other provisions, and it was an amendment that was added the same day that we voted for it on the Senate floor, the governor was at 4 years training and experience before an APRN can practice independently, and the original legislation was at 2. And so I worked with one of my Senate colleagues, Senator Kelda Royce from the Madison area, who is a huge supporter of this bill. And, you know, we broke and had a recess on the floor, and I went up to her and said, you know, Senator, if I can get your support along with the support of some other Democrats, I am willing to go to 3. I can't go to 4 years because Wisconsin would be the only state in the nation that has done an APRN Modernization Act, and every other state is at either 2 years or 3, or some are at none. So I don't know why we would make Wisconsin an island on this front, because all we would be doing is creating an arbitrary barrier for these advanced practice nurses. And to her credit, she stuck with us. I know she took a lot of criticism and flack from some of her colleagues for it, but Senator Royce, along with Senator Larson, stuck with us when the bill was brought up before the Senate floor earlier this year.
As sort of a sub-question to this, and I do want to get back to the bills that were vetoed, do you think that a little bit of, we don't encourage people necessarily to do this in our neighborhoods or anything, but when it comes to state next to state and some of that, is there a little bit of the keeping up with the Joneses that has to be involved when it comes to looking at keeping population or some of the other factors there?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, from my standpoint, especially as it relates to, you know, what can we do to increase access of care, especially in our rural and underserved areas, it's taking a look at what other states have done. Because I often tell people, you do not need to reinvent the wheel. If there are things that work in other states, then there's no reason to expect that it wouldn't work here. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily taking a cookie cutter approach, but, you know, identifying models that have worked in other places. And that's what's so great about our country. As Benjamin Franklin once said, the states are the laboratories for democracy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in this instance, we've seen where this legislation has been enacted. It's been truly a benefit for not just the providers, but for patients. And so, you know, this is where I think we have the opportunity to, you know, adopt language that's been successful in other states and apply it here to Wisconsin, because at the end of the day, it's about doing what's best for the people we represent, and also, again, making sure that in areas where there is a shortage of providers, that we can sort of help fill that void. And as I said on the Senate floor on Tuesday, this legislation is not meant to replace the role of physicians. It's to help supplement where we have deficiencies in the number of providers in key areas of the state.
And when it comes to the other bills that were vetoed on in your notes, I see, what other bills were vetoed on?
Probably one of the big ones, they're all fairly important, don't get me wrong, but one of the big ones was dealing with PFAS contamination. So there has been a lot of discussion in the media, and, you know, I think this is one of these areas where, unfortunately, being 2024, it's an election year, politics is getting in the way of good public policy. And so in the state budget, where I'm a member of the Joint Finance Committee, we set aside $125 million to deal with PFAS contamination that was contingent of being released upon passage and signage of legislation being enacted into law. So two of my colleagues, Senator Eric Wimberger from the Green Bay area and Ralph Coles from the Alloway area up in northeast Wisconsin, where this has been a real issue, did their due diligence and worked on comprehensive legislation that would provide an avenue forward, this $125 million to be released to give landowners the tools and resources to test and then also deal with remediation and contamination. Because what has happened is that, farmers and landowners have been given permission to spread bile sludge, oftentimes coming from leachate from landfills, onto their properties, unbeknownst to them, not knowing that, oftentimes this material, this bile sludge, has PFAS in it. And the real unfortunate, sad part about this is that they were given permission by the DNR, and at the time, the DNR was not aware that there were PFAS contamination. So there was one provision in this bill that seemed to draw the largest amount of criticism from the governor, and it was one of the reasons why he said he vetoed this legislation, is that, you know, if an individual may have spread some of these contaminants and not without knowing that there were PFAS in them, that they shouldn't be held liable, because it was through no fault of their own that they were given permission by our very own state government to do so. And so, unfortunately, the governor vetoed this legislation. And unfortunately, again, politics has taken a front row seat as opposed to a back row seat on this. And the governor has been trying to say that the Joint Finance Committee can just come in and release these funds. And that's not how this works. One committee in the state legislature cannot override a governor's veto. It requires a two-thirds vote from both the state Senate as well as the state assembly. So we don't have an avenue currently for this money to be released, which is unfortunate, but it's why we felt so compelled to come in and override the governor's veto. And again, our hope is that we can compel the assembly to do the same, and hopefully we can do the right thing here and correct the mistake in the governor's veto and get these funds out to communities and people who need it most.
When it comes to somewhat the political game that you're mentioning there, we both are adults and we understand that both parties are guilty of this. Do you, from your constituents, hear the same thing that I'm hearing from our communities? They're tired of that? That they're tired of the game? Well, the game, nobody's being fooled here. Everybody understands. In fact, a lot of people on both sides of the aisle are quite blunt about it now and saying, we're not going to vote on this because it's an election year and we're going to wait until our guy gets in office if he does and things like that. While the American people sit in the middle of this game, and we're the ones that suffer.
Yeah, no, you're 100% spot on, James. In fact, I'm hearing it constantly. So as we all know right now, it's everyone's favorite season in Wisconsin, and I don't mean spring, it's campaign season. And I know that's a really bad joke, but, you know, I've been going out there just about 5 to 6 days a week, going door to door to hear what's on people's minds. And, you know, this issue got brought up recently about a week and a half ago when I was going door to door in the city of Tomah. And, you know, I had a conversation, and these are individuals who probably lean a little left to center, but, you know, they've always admired the work and the approach that I've taken. And they asked the question pretty bluntly. They're like, what is going on with the money that's supposed to be going to deal with PFAS? And I said, look, if you've got a few minutes, I will peel back the curtain. I will give you the ins and outs and everything that's going on. And after what I just explained to you, they were scratching their head, and they're like, we don't understand this. And I said, I know, because, you know, this has been turned into a political issue. And at the same time, while it's trying to be used as a wedge to drive us apart, the average person doesn't care, because there are homeowners right now whose properties are rendered completely useless, their most important asset, because their well is highly contaminated with PFAS. And so while we sort of, you know, bout and joust down to Madison over who's to blame, people don't care. They just want results. And I think that's one of the primary reasons why we took to the floor to do this, because we're trying to get past the political brinksmanship and try and provide results for the people who need this most.
We're speaking with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston right now. And speaking of speaking to your constituents and new people, you have some new districts. New legislative districts were announced in Wisconsin. How is it going meeting some different areas and talking to different people? How are you enjoying that? Or how is that going?
You know, it's one of those, it's sort of bittersweet. So when you take a look at the new 24th Senate District, I used to have all of Portage County. I now have portions of it. Portage County got split up three ways. I used to have the majority of Wood County, with the exception of Marshfield and a few townships in the northwest corner. And now I just have basically the city of Wisconsin Rapids and South, got completely taken out of Washer County. I lost the city of Sparta over Monroe County, but maintained the eastern half. Picked up most of Juneau County, which is all new to me. And I previously had the eastern half of Jackson County, and now have all of Jackson County. And when I say it's bittersweet, it's tough, because after 7 years of doing this, you build up really strong relationships within the communities that you formerly represented. But at the same time, I try and be optimistic and find the silver lining in all of this. And, you know, the fun part for me is now I'm going into new communities I wasn't necessarily familiar with, whether it's places like Osseo or Black River Falls, or in places like Mauston or New Lisbon, Camp Douglas. Just yesterday, I was in the village of Wilton going door to door. And, you know, it's fun, because you get to introduce yourself to new people and learn about new issues that are impacting that area. And it's just, it comes with the territory. I mean, Typically we do this once every 10 years under, you know, the new environment. You know, we're doing this every 2 years, it seems like. Mm. But it doesn't change my approach. I'm going out there and taking my message directly to the people. And more importantly, I'm hearing directly from them what's on their minds and, you know, what their ideas and concerns are moving forward and how we can work together to address those.
Sometimes the people come to you and come down to Madison. And recently you sat down with some local members of the Wisconsin Aging Advocacy Network for their Aging Advocacy Day. How did that go? What were some of the things you discussed?
Well, it was great. It's a great organization. They do tremendous work in advocating for our older population here in the state, which, by the way, is not getting any younger by the day. The silver tsunami, as they call it, is becoming a real reality here in the state. And so that presents some challenges. It also presents some opportunities. And some of the things that they really try to focus on is, you know, how can we be more preventative as it relates to our senior population and trying to invest on the front end rather than having it become an issue where we're spending more on the back end, whether it's things like providing grant dollars for agencies like our ADRCs, who do a tremendous job and great programming, and things like, for instance, fall prevention grants. You know, there is legislation that came up towards the tail end of this session that would have provided grant dollars for our ADRCs and other organizations around the state to help with fall prevention. Unfortunately, when we heard testimony, there have been instances where, you know, senior citizens fall in their homes or in a nursing home. And oftentimes, because there's concerns that they don't want to increase their injury that they may have incurred, that oftentimes they have to wait until a fire department or an ambulance shows up where they can be lifted and evaluated, which in some instances, this can take hours, if not several hours, which is just horrifying. And you think about the lack of dignity that sense of that individual who has worked their entire life and now find themselves laying on the floor waiting for an ambulance or a firefighter to show up to give them medical treatment. I mean, it's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, that legislation didn't pass because it was fairly late in the session. However, already one of the things that they're preparing for is how can we work with them going into the next state budget to hopefully provide some more resources and grant dollars to ensure that our ADRCs and other organizations can utilize those funds and help out our most vulnerable here.
Hmm. Recently, one of the fun things we have to talk about with you is your On the Job series. You were recently at our Southwood County Humane Society a little while ago, and a shout out to you for that. I know they really enjoyed themselves. We had Tim in with our Pet of the Week last Thursday, and he was raving about your work and how all that, and we got to talk to you a little bit about it. Now, just recently, you were at the Food Plus Farm Exploration Center in Plover, which a lot of us have been enjoying and checking out. How did you enjoy yourself?
It was a blast, and this one was really kind of unique for me. It was sort of a doubleheader. So when it was being constructed, I actually got to spend one of my days on the job with Hooper Construction and help install the HVAC system at that facility. And, you know, since it's been completed, I am just blown away. I've said numerous times that I have learned that when individuals like Dick Pavelski have a vision and a dream, it is best to get out of the way and hop on the bus or get run over by it, because he will see it through to the end. And they are doing a tremendous job. Andy Wrights, who's the executive director over there, has put together a phenomenal team where they're really trying to connect people to where their food comes from. Because even I've heard it from adults who say, you know, their food comes from a grocery store. Well, to a certain extent, that's true. But there's a lot of other steps that go into that process before that food ever shows up to the shelves of a supermarket. And, you know, it was great because I got to spend some time. There were some school groups that came through, and I got to, you know, explain to them what my role is in state government and, you know, how I work with farmers in our area to promote our strong egg industry, and even got to see some of the test plots and research that they're doing. And also the partnership that they created with FarmShed, who was on site that day, because they received I believe it was a $12,000 or $15,000 grant from the Community Foundation, because what they found out last year from their test fields is that at the end of the year they had all this produce and they couldn't take it anywhere. And, you know, organically they got connected with FarmShed, and now they're going to be taking all the food that is grown off of their test fields at the Food and Farm Exploration Center and going to be donating it directly to our food pantries in the area and other organizations that help individuals who might be struggling to get adequate food. And so it just drives home why I love Central Wisconsin so much, is that when we identify a problem, organizations roll up their sleeves and they get to work and find solutions.
Hmm. I think you're one of these On the Job series. We're going to have to get you into the radio station here. We're going to have to get you in here, have you learn a little bit of what we do. I think it'll be fun.
I'd love it.
It'd be great. I did want to wrap up, sir, with the last minute that we had, complimenting you and mentioning to the audience, just in case they did not know, that you were recognized the other day by the Legislative Champion Award from our Wisconsin Association of Free and Charitable Clinics. Congratulations on that. What did that mean to you?
It meant a lot. And again, you know, in my time since I entered the state Senate, some of the areas that I've really tried to dial in on is how can we increase access to care in underserved areas, and especially for our most vulnerable populations. And our free and charitable clinics do an incredible job all throughout the state. And in fact, it was a couple of sessions ago now that I had worked with State Representative Todd Novak, and for the first time ever, we actually create a state statute where we are going to continue to provide state resources for our free and charitable clinics because of the work that they do, whether it's delivering on oral health care, helping prevent individuals from utilizing our emergency departments as their primary access to health care, which is the worst place to get primary care because it's the most expensive. And so really, it's a win-win. These clinics oftentimes run by volunteers, and the one that I visited most recently was over in Sparta, where they have a free and charitable clinic housed right within the Mayo Clinic. And you know, hearing the work from, you know, whether it's their pharmacists, their nurses, their doctors, their director, and it's just remarkable work. And so, you know, it meant a lot. You know, it's always great to be recognized for, you know, the work that we do, but ultimately they deserve the credit because they are the ones who are, you know, donating their time to take care of those who need it most and who might not have health insurance or who might not have the ability to see a primary care physician. And this is another prime example where organizations like our free and charitable clinics help fill that gap and help fill that void in our communities all throughout the state.
Always appreciate the time, sir. If people want to reach you, how can they do that?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get a hold of me, feel free to reach out to my legislative office. Our number is 608-266-3123. Shoot us an email at sen.mylastnametestin@legis.wi.gov. Follow us on social media. And, of course, as I mentioned before, it is campaign season, so I will be out and about going door to door. And if you see me out on the street, feel free to stop and chat. And look forward to taking our message to a Durham community near you.
Thanks for the time, Senator. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate it, James.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around, to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Gwitt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between DePere and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A viral video that racked up millions of views on social media falsely claims the Department of Transportation is issuing voter IDs to people in the United States illegally. The DOT says voter ID applicants have to provide a number of documents, which include proof of residence. Applicants also have to have their photo taken at the DMV. Wisconsin Republicans gather in Appleton for the state party convention this weekend. State Chair Brian Schimming says polling shows the GOP has a chance to win over some traditional Democratic voters.
They have slipped with Latino voters, African-American voters, younger voters, women voters, every poll you see.
Schimming speaking with Wisconsin Eye. The keynote speaker is Congressman Byron Donalds of Florida. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. You can help Jay Bird Brown in his battle against cancer with the Jay Bird Poker Run this Saturday. It'll be at White Sands Beach on May 18th from 10 to 4. Poker Run registration begins at 10 a.m. and is $20 per hand. The first card is drawn at 11. They'll have a cornhole tournament, 50-50 raffle, and basket raffles, as well as a potluck meal with dessert to follow the ride at Wazeecha White Sands. All proceeds will help the Brown family with medical and living expenses while Jay continues his battle against terminal cancer. There's blood drives in Wisconsin Rapids Monday through Wednesday next week. You can donate with the Community Blood Center at the former East Junior High School on Monday from 2 to 7 or Tuesday from 10 to 3. On Wednesday, you can donate with the Red Cross at McMillan Library. They're accepting donations from 10 to 3. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Netflix has announced a new Kathryn Bigelow project at the Upfronts in New York on Wednesday. The 72-year-old award-winning Bigelow has directed thrillers Zero Dark Thirty and The Hurt Locker, but she has not directed a film since 2017's Detroit. The project is still currently untitled. Sticking with Netflix news, it's official. There will be a sequel. Happy Gilmore 2 is a go. The network used the upfronts for this announcement as well. The news comes after months of speculation and rumors and hints dropped by various Happy Gilmore 1 cast members. Unfortunately, it will not star Adam Sandler. Ha, just kidding. The first film was released in 1996 and followed Sandler's character, a hockey player with anger issues who turns to golf. Chris McDonald is expected to return as golfer Shooter McGavin. This will be Sandler's ninth project with the streaming service. Here's hoping there will never be a sequel to Uncut Gems. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear to partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-50s. A sunny and warm day again for tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s. In the late afternoon and evening, a couple of storms could pop up. Another nice day for Sunday, mostly sunny and a high around 80. Currently at 75 degrees.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Don't forget your sunscreen. It's true. You should be protecting your skin year-round, even in Wisconsin. But did you know spring is actually the peak time that you're at risk for getting a sunburn? Here's why. UV rays are more intense in the spring, even before temperatures warm up. And second, it's all due to the angle of the sun. UV radiation strengthens as the sun reaches a more direct angle. This happens throughout May and into June, leading up to the summer solstice on June 21st. A good reminder to be sunny weather ready, even if there's still some springtime cool outside. So slap that sunscreen on. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Crude and Dom.
Crude and Rich are doing it live this Friday, a special Barron Trump graduation edition. Call in with your grievances, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this May 17th, 2024. I have your host, James, here, and we're joined right now by our good friends from the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. We have Ben Eberlein with us, Community Engagement Director with our United Way. Ben, always good to see you.
It's fantastic to be here.
It's kind of a tradition that now it's turning into where you and I run into each other right before the United We Can event. I always like that. That's fun. We'll see if we have time to mention that a little bit later because we have so much to cover, Ben. You guys are up to so much. This is a busy time of year for y'all. I don't know if there's a downtime of year really for the United Way, but this is certainly one of the more busy times, and some of our favorite events you guys host and do are coming up, including the Great Book Giveaway.
It is such a fun event. Yeah, we got a lot coming up right now. Great Book Giveaway is bigger than ever. We got 10 events this year, so we really want to make sure that we have free books available to families and get those books into kids' hands so they can read all summer long.
And with this event, Ben, for people that may not know or be that familiar with it, let's explain to them what this event is and when they can be take place and take a part in it.
I'd love to. So, yeah, we do events throughout Southwood and Adams County where we have volunteers that'll read stories to kids for about half an hour. And after that, all the kids who are attending get to look through the books that we've collected from book drives that the community has generously provided. And they'll get to look through the books that are there, pick ones that resonate with them that they really think look interesting and fun that they'll want to read all summer. They get to take them home for free and keep them.
It's such a cool event, and it's one of those fun ones for the community where, yes, we encourage all parents and kids to be a part of this. Get yourself some books. These are great books, and it's a great way to help keep your kids reading through the summer. If they're picking out a book, it means it's something that they're interested in, and that's more likely that they're going to read it. So that's a great opportunity right there to be able to do that. And again, free books, everybody loves that. That's such a great thing to be able to offer to the community. the thing about this as an adult that I think is another fun angle on this is we as adults, once our kids get older, we have so few opportunities to read to children. And that could be such a gift, not only to the child, but to yourself. I know this. I love reading to my kids. I got to read to my brother and sister, my kids. But I was doing this about a year or so ago and over at the zoo here, and I got to be a part in it, and I didn't realize how much I missed it. And the excitement of the kids when you're just reading a regular old sentence. The stork went outside. And just the actions. And I love it. It's so much fun. I cannot encourage people enough to be a part of this event. If you are an adult, you have even a little bit of free time, I got a place for you to spend it. Be a part of the Great Book Giveaway. If people would like to register or sign up for this, Ben, how can they do that?
Absolutely. Please, anybody interested in volunteering, you want to read, get in touch with me. You can give us a call at United Way at 715-421-0390. You can always reach out via email. My email is Ben, B-E-N, at uwswac.org.
And keep in mind that this kicks off Monday, June 10th over at Building Blocks in Wisconsin Rapids. They'll also be on June 11th at the Think Academy in Rudolph, along with the zoo in Wisconsin Rapids. I'll meet you over there. I've already signed up for that. I've already told Terry I'm doing it. So I will be over there. The Ed Hewer Elementary School in Port Edwards on Wednesday the 12th. Also on the 12th, be at McMillan Memorial Library. Thursday, June 13th over at the Southwood County YMCA. And you'll also be at the Charles and Joanne Lester Library in Nacoosa at 1:30 on Thursday. Friday, June 14th, they will be at Adams County Library in Adams. And then on Friday the 14th at Leicester Public Library in Rome. And things will wrap up Tuesday, June 18th at the Leicester Public Library of Vesper. So you really be able to hit all of our local libraries, get in a lot of range of places, and getting outside a little bit too.
We really do our best to make sure that we're getting to every part of the communities that we serve to make sure that there's an opportunity for families from every corner of our area, that, you know, our footprint, basically, yeah. Get the opportunity, because that's really the core of the event. Is that obviously what you already touched on is reading is so important to development, for academically for kids, to not only brain development, like I mentioned, but to stay up to speed and not lose what they've learned throughout the school year or going into school. So having the opportunity to just hear stories and then again to take those books home and read.
You ask most teachers that are getting the new class in from the previous year, and so many of them will tell you, we really hope that they have maintained where they were when they left school at the end of the previous year. Being a part of events like this for kids and seeing their parents being a part of events like this only encourages them and can only give them a little bit more of a step forward in that direction when they're starting the new school year. We certainly understand that it's summer, kids are going to have fun, they're going to lax on some things. Anything that we can help them not lax on necessarily without even them really knowing about it, let's be honest, is great. It's a wonderful thing. It's one of the best things in the world when you see a kid doing something they're supposed to do and they're enjoying it. And this is one of those kind of events where I promise you're going to get that not only from your kids, but you yourself might experience it if you get a chance to read to these kids. We'll talk more about it as we get closer to in June, but fun event, really fun event. A fun but very, very important event coming up, the Stuff the School Bus Desk collaboration, the collective of this, our community and you guys come together for.
Yeah, talk about keeping kids ready for school, right?
Yeah.
So I know it feels really weird talking about back to school when we're not even done with this year. Stuff the bus, stuff the desk. I think, people get a little confused by that, to clear that up.
Sure.
Stuff the Desk is, like you said, a community collaboration initiative that is led by United Way to make sure that our students can start the year off with the tools they need to learn. You can't write if you don't have a pencil and paper. You can't be an active participant in your education and be present for class, mentally, if you don't have those tools. So yeah. Stuff the Desk is our initiative to make sure that we provide those supplies to every student that has a financial need.
When it when it comes to this event, we're focusing on the stuffing the desk part. We certainly can use help from the community with this, getting items, donations. It is one of the best investments you can make with your dollar. You are investing in the future. There's no, this isn't me romanticizing it or anything. This is fact. You are investing in the future. You are helping kids prepare more for the school year ahead, whether it's second grade or 10th grade, 11th grade, whatever it might be. You're impacting our future by doing this. I mention this whenever this comes up every year, and I'm going to keep doing it. As long as there's people out there that I think need to hear it. I was one of these kids. I know what this is like. I had 10 different addresses before I was 10. I went to a lot of different schools. And a lot of those times, no matter, I had the best parents in the world, wouldn't trade them for anything. They didn't have a lot of resources. And I would oftentimes be starting school with a couple of busted pencils, maybe a notebook that had been written in, and maybe, if I was lucky, some crayons. But the kid next to me has got all these glue things, and he's got a little calculator and this and that. And I would spend probably the first part of class wondering about that and why, if I needed those items, was it going to come up later in the school year that I didn't have glue? How am I going to get glue? I'm sitting there worrying about that when he's talking about math problems. And that's how I ended up in radio. No, I'm joking. I'm not kidding. No, but I try to make a lightness, lighten the moment a little bit. But it is that important. It really does affect kids. It really does impact their learning and goes so much farther than I can put into words. This is a great investment and one of the better investments you can make. So we encourage you to be a part of these things. When it comes to getting these items to you guys, do we drop them off? Are there going to be drop-off locations?
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. We have drop-off locations all over town. So you can absolutely check with United Way's website, uwswac.org, and for a list of local drop-off sites. Otherwise, you're going to see that little box or some sort of collection area at a lot of our local organizations, retailers, places that you frequent. You're going to see those. Otherwise, join us at Lunch by the River the first Thursday of August. That's August 1st. And that's our big Stuff the Bus collection event where everybody can come down to Lunch by the River, join us, have a good time, and drop off your donations at that time. If you don't necessarily find a drop-off location around town over the summer or you want to get extra shopping in so you can donate more items, stop by at Lunch by the River on August 1st to donate those items.
Get some good food, great atmosphere, taking a good view, and put into your United Way. Win, win, win. Win.
I even ordered perfect weather, so yeah. It's going to be gorgeous.
Done. Nice work out of you. Good way to think ahead. Nicely done. So this is one half of this event. The other part of the event is, of course, getting these items to these kids and letting parents be able to sign up for it. And that has that opened yet?
Exactly, yeah. So the big part that I got to emphasize is you must be registered to receive supplies. Registration can be done online at our website, and that's just open now. Like you mentioned, it is open. Any student or family can go on and register your student now, so May 1st through August 1st. So you have to be registered to be able to get those supplies, and you have to do that by August 1st.
Don't tell her I told you this, but Terry is one of the greater people I've ever met. And I've had the honor of working with her quite a bit for the last 7 years or so. Again, don't share this with her. But one of the things we've been talking about for years now when it comes to this event is, well, this many kids this year and this many kids this year, and it keeps going up. So I cannot stress enough that now more than ever, we can use your assistance, your help, your investment in this great event that goes on. If you're picking up items for your kids and you can afford an extra notebook or two, it goes so much farther than we can put into words. And pencils, pens, as we get closer to the event, we'll find out items that we need more than others and we'll let you know. But we really appreciate the community year after year stepping up and being a part of this event. We will talk more about it as we get closer to it, but do keep in mind that registration is open for all those families out there, and you have until August 1st to complete registration. We were speaking of Ben, our friend Ben from the United Way of Southwind and Adams Counties, and one of the things that Terry brought up the other day that I wasn't aware of right out the gate, but I've come to learn about is this idea of the diaper drive that you all were doing. That was a great idea, and I just wanted to note that and put that out there, that they've been doing this diaper drive. It is a great great opportunity to not only impact the youth, but impact families. And one of the most important impacts you can make, you know, families that are struggling, or family single parents, or things like that, or basically families. Like, you know this as well as I do. You can have money and still be, where are the diapers? Where are the diapers? You just never have enough diapers. I never do.
I think every family, every young family, once you hit that, you know, get over that milestone of where you're not using diapers anymore, it's a huge relief. And I think everybody, we almost throw a party when that happens.
Right. It was just a great event that you guys are doing here now until Father's Day, collecting diapers. If you'd like to donate to the diaper drive, again, encourage you to go to the webpage, uwswac.org. uwswac.org. Ben, where would you like to go next? There's too much to talk about. I'm overdriven. There's so much.
Absolutely. I don't think you did mention we could. You want to talk about United? We can a little bit. I know that's coming up right around the corner.
Yeah, it's now this one I am a little biased on. I am very biased on this event. I love this event, and I there's so few opportunities we have in society to bring so many different elements of our community together in a place where we have already so many people gathering. It's such a cool opportunity where, yeah, Rafters Baseball, we get to the Rafters host this event over at Witterfield, and you've already got like a couple hundred people coming to that. And then you got a couple more hundred coming when it comes to the United We Can event. So it's such a win-win for our community. It even when I'm there before the game even starts, the energy in the ballpark is different. It's a fun, different vibe. It's such a good feeling, and I know how much this event means to you.
It's a blast. I mean, like you said, to see the amount of people come together, and when you actually see what it looks like to have, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, you know, cans of food stacked into an incredible sculpture, like, it just blows your mind. And it's one of those things, you got to be there. You got to come out. And on June 18th this year, we're going to have the event at Witterfield. So, you know, grab a ticket, bring a can of food to donate. You can even get a free ticket. So no excuse not to.
None. I'm curious, at this point, the event's been open for a little while. We've had some teams register. Can we have more teams? Do we have room for more?
We could squeeze in another team or two.
All right.
This is one of those events that I have the pleasure of working with so many amazing people that are so passionate about this cause that we have a lot of teams that want to be able to come back every year. It is really a privilege to have that kind of engagement. We've got about 8 teams right now, and we max out about 10 teams. I mean, we don't have a ton of room. When you're working with the space that's just under the bleachers.
And
to fit, like I said, you know, thousands of cans of food or items, it gets a little tight. So yeah.
And to the businesses and the nonprofits and other organizations that are a part of this event, thank you so much for being a part of this event. Thank you for helping on a cause that I'm so proud to see is embraced by this community. I know growing up that struggling with getting food and having enough food, and that it could be something that really messes with your pride, messes with the way you your self-worth and so many of these things. Very similar to the school supply situation. But I don't see this community treating people like that, or making them feel like that. It's not, this community is very adamant about, it's not a handout, it's a hand up. And that is something that most Midwesterners can, okay, I can handle a hand up. I'm used to that. I don't want a handout. And that's just kind of one of those things that I think has helped with this a lot, where people are being more open about it, because the one of the bigger fears, if not the biggest fear of this to me, again, from somebody coming from this world, is the person that I'm too ashamed to ask for help. And we have a lot of that in society. We have a lot more of it than people might realize. Again, I know what I'm talking about here. So one of the ways to counter that is, as a society, being much more real about this and being more honest about it. And instead of trying to make people feel bad for, hey, look what I did. I gave you a can of Campbell's soup. How fortunate are you? Being like, hey, you need some? Here you go. You know, you get me back when you can. Get me back when you can, or something like that. Or, you know what, pay it forward to the next person, or something like that. That's the Midwest way, and the United Way embraces that. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we continue to see every year so many, sometimes record years, of donations. We see that in this community, where we all know from the Alice Report and other reports from the United Way, that our neighbors could be just as well these people that need this food. People you may not know, or people you do know that don't know, that are struggling. There's so many layers to this. And when you see so much of the community come together, be a part of it, I don't know how you can't love this area and how you can't be proud of this area.
It's a fantastic community. We have so much support. And you really touched on, you know, one of the biggest parts of this event isn't, yeah, of course, it's about food and just supporting our food program so that they can, you know, help the Alice families and households in our area. But, you know, one of the biggest parts of this event is the awareness piece so that, you know, there's such a widespread, so many families in our area yeah. are struggling. And we know that. You mentioned the Alice data. People are going to think we pay you to mention. No, I'm kidding. You're so connected with how these you know concepts and challenges that we're facing around here are so interconnected, and you get it. So no, our goal here is to raise awareness so that our community can understand a little deeper on some of that as well, because we have so many. We're going to get an update on the Alice data later this month. So hopefully we'll have that information out pretty soon. But we're looking at, you know, the last report that was released, almost 40% of our households in Wood County are basically, you know, they're kind of barely getting by. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people think, like you said, it's a shame or a pride situation, or they think, you know, it's not for me. It's for people who really need it. Well, there's a huge portion of our community that could use a little help. Mm-hmm. And we are super privileged to have an amazing community that supports these events.
Another angle of this, if you are in a business or a nonprofit that's not going to be putting together a sculpture, you can still come down to the game and bring maybe a non-perishable food item with you and be a part of that.
Absolutely. And the Rafters are going the extra mile this year.
Yeah.
They are allowing you can, it's not just a one day thing. You can bring in a food donation anytime during those first few weeks of their season leading up to the event. And they'll give you a free ticket for bringing in that food donation. So take advantage. Who doesn't like a free ticket to the ball game?
Come on. Yeah. Yeah. That's a win-win right there. And it's such a fun event. It's such a great time at the ballpark. And keep that in mind too. While I get a little over serious sometimes with these things, this is a really fun event. You're coming down, you can check out these sculptures and make your own votes in your own head, which is a lot easier than what I have to do, where I actually have to vote on these, and it's almost impossible because they're all amazing.
You have a hard job.
It's a really tough one, man. He sees me struggling every year doing this. Looking forward to that part of it, and looking forward to being there at Winterfield and playing, watching some baseball in our Rafters. I do want to send a gigantic shout out to the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. They put back into this community. They go out of their way to do things and be a part of things, and I appreciate that out of them. Keep in mind that there are awards for these as well. There's a little bit of, you know, pride that comes into this, little bragging rights to come into it for some of the organizations. Our 2023 winners for most creative were Domtar, most nutritious, Erco Worldwide. The Community Choice Award last year from the major league level went to Solaris, and the Community Choice Award for the minor leagues went to Grace Lutheran Church. With those awards, I think we can get the difference of some of that, but what is the difference between a major league and a minor league Community Choice Award?
Absolutely. So, like you said, there's voting from the community. We have our esteemed panel of judges that vote. So just to make things, you know, even the playing field a little bit, and just flavor wise, major league, minor league is fun, right?
Yeah.
So our major league means just, you know, the teams that are using more than 500 items in their sculptures. Minor league is less than 500.
Mm-hmm. Ben, as we're wrapping up, anything you want to touch on we didn't get a chance to? I think we covered it. I think we got it.
You're incredible.
Back at you, man. I can't do it alone. You did a great job. And we certainly send a shout out to you and the whole team at the United Way. So all you guys are doing amazing work and really keeping this community moving. We move because of our nonprofits. This community thrives because of our nonprofits. And you guys are way at the top of the list. We appreciate the work that you all do. Keep it up. Ben, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, certainly registering for some of these events and other things, how can they reach you?
Yeah, please reach out at, feel free to give us a call at United Way at 715-421-0390. You can reach out to me directly at via email, ben@uwswac.org. Or if anything here that you heard sparked something and you reach out, you got a question, need some help with something, not sure where to connect with, call 211.
Yeah, you can always call
211 on your phone. Exactly.
Always a good idea. Talk to our friend Amy and the gang over there at 211. They'll get you in touch with the United Way. Be sure to follow the United Way on social media as well. It's a great way to keep up to date on last minute things, as well as finding out what's going on in your community and keeping up to date with the great United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Always good to talk to you, Ben. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, James.
Do want to send a big shout out as we wrap up the week to the head scheduler around here, the heart of WFHR, Pam Hilke, who does a great job week in and week out setting up these interviews for us and our listeners. We appreciate you, Pam. Have a great weekend. You all have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we kick off the week leading up to Memorial Day weekend with a round of the good, the bad, and oh, please, can we make it stop? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The fantastic Jane Matinair of Matinair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.